First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, it isn't Alan Nathan. It's Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today. And welcome to yet another hour of the Alan Nathan Show. Alan is on assignment. Always happy to be here when my schedule allows. We're going to open this hour with a horrific story that we need to talk about. We must. And here to help us do that is our friend Michael Letts, CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests. Michael has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, and he's the perfect person, one of several that we know, to talk about this horrible case. Michael, welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Karen. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the country, and thank you that you're helping America understand the truth.
Yeah, well, part of the truth right now, which is just horrific, is that a Haitian immigrant came to this country last summer on a program of the Biden administration that flew him directly from Haiti to New York City and put him up in a Massachusetts hotel where he raped a 15-year-old mentally disabled woman. And this is one story among a growing number of stories that show the insane, dangerous, and malicious policies of the Biden administration. Tell us about this program and about what you think about this. Do you think there's going to be justice in a case as horrible as this?
There will be symbolic justice. Well, let you and I make sure we understand what justice is. Justice is rooting out evil in all aspects. That means eliminating programs that are absolutely diabolical. Now, why would I use such a word? The Biden administration put together what we call a parole program. Here's what it means. If you get paroled in a foreign country, you're welcome to this country to start over and have a new life. We'll even help pay your expenses. Now, I can't even begin to grasp the logic behind that. These are people, we're not talking about your political payroll or parolee that were locked up because of speech. We're talking about people who are murderers, rapists, criminals of the most heinous kind. And we're going to allow them into this country, and we're going to help subsidize them and help them assimilate into America because we believe in the innate goodness of the human nature.
I don't think we believe that at all.
Forgive
me. I don't think the people who did this policy, who created, and by the way, forgive me, I was remiss. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I was remiss in not explaining this insane program. The CHNV stands for Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, a program which allows up to 30,000 people each month from these countries to fly into the U.S. and be granted 2 years of humanitarian parole, which allows them to apply to work in the U.S. How much hatred do you have for the country that elected you and placed you in power, for the people in that country to send rapists and murderers to come kill them and kill their children? How much hostility do you really have to have?
You have to have a little bit more, because the program, what you're saying is the program has been modified since then. It now allows for the same personnel from the Middle East, Ukraine, Iran, Syria, places that we know hate us with a passion, okay? They're allowed as well, not just the four countries that you listed. So they are doing everything possible to bring in as many people to destroy and kill as many Americans. Now, Karen, I don't know what most people can understand 2 + 2 = 4. To me, that is the abject act of treason. That is worse than anything the British government ever did to us in 1776. And look what we did then. It is time for the American people to say, I will not tolerate a government that abuses me any longer. It must be removed from power.
Well, I guess that leads us where it always leads us, which is a lot of conservatives, let alone independents, whatever, still think we have free and fair elections in this country.
We do not.
The same people that you're talking about who have perpetrated so many hoaxes on Americans, who would think that, oh, they wouldn't ever do that, cheat to stay in power? But we know that while they accuse, we're making a little bit of a shift here, but while they accuse their opponents of election interference, they're interfering in elections all over the world. Schumer, we'll talk about this later, he's calling for Netanyahu to be ousted because Netanyahu wants to fight Hamas. So these are people who, you know, who thinks that they would not cheat in an election if it allowed them to hold power.
You're right, Karen. These are the same people, Schumer, that just blocked a bill that would turn over violent illegal immigrants to ISIS for immediate deportation. And what was the rationale? Well, we don't want anybody to not have due process. How do you have due process when you're not a citizen of this country and you came in illegally?
But former presidents, they don't get due process, right?
No.
Former presidents are accused of, and based on what somebody accuses them of, for which he was never convicted because they couldn't convict him, they want to take him off the ballot. Now, these are people who would never think of interfering in an election, right?
Exactly. They're angels. And we're the great domestic terrorists of this country. But I got news for them. They're not deceiving the American people. There's a small group that are sheep that will be led to do anything. But the vast majority, through efforts such as yours, and we thank you again for what you do on the air, are learning the truth. And unfortunately, the truth is very ugly at the moment. But take great hope, because the American people have always been able to rally, to unite, and to stand for righteousness and for the right causes. I expect them to do the same now. There is a mighty tidal wave of anger across the country. It is not a matter of do you like Trump or don't like. That's irrelevant. People have had enough. They right now see the only option as the devil, Biden, or Trump, who they may not like, but Trump will decide to make sure that Americans are first and that this evil ends, and that's where they're headed.
Yeah. It's tough stuff that we have to talk about, isn't it?
It is.
Let's talk about your company, Invest USA. Sometimes we only have time to let people know about it, but tell any people a little bit more. We got about a minute as to what Invest USA is and does.
Well, our main purpose is to protect and support those put their lives on the line every day for us. And unfortunately, 90% of cops do not have active shooter vests, which are the newest vests to protect against rifle rounds. We know now the illegal immigrants are also gang members who are targeting our first responders. They must be protected. And so I encourage everyone to do two things. Tell a first responder, first of all, thank you for your willingness to serve and to protect me. Second of all, if you can help make sure they get protection, it would be most gratefully appreciated.
Yes. And talk about, I mean, a little bit, the thin blue line. People who don't know that term, there is a thin blue line between law-abiding citizens and chaos. And what we talk about often is the radical left that wants to destroy and change this country permanently, they want to erase that line, don't they?
They sure do, you know, and quite frankly, let's be very blunt, they're doing a pretty good job at working on that. We have probably almost half of what we normally expect across this country in law enforcement. We have gone down from 1.2 down to 700,000 cops. That's a huge decline.
Huge. And those are people that are protecting us from the very dangers that the current administration seems to be imposing upon us. It's tough stuff. Michael Letts, thank you for joining us. You can find him at investusa.com. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, God bless, Karen.
You too. Well, we're going to move right along with another guest right after the break. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline on the Main Street Radio Network.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And yet again, while this administration puts law-abiding, innocent people in danger, they seem to be stirring up hate for other groups that clearly don't vote for them. We're talking about our Christians and other conservatives who, oh my God, might support Donald Trump. Here to talk about that is director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. His name is Tim Head, executive director, excuse me. Tim, thank you for joining us and on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me today and for talking about these issues. Unfortunately, it seems like plenty of people want to kind of stick stick a stick in the eye of a bunch of Americans instead of trying to unite people.
You know, I even know the occasional liberal, I don't know too many, who were suddenly awakened when they saw Joe Biden call more than half the country terrorists. And that policy, and she's a pundit, Dr. Naomi Wolf, wonderful. I don't agree with her on everything, but, you know, this is what woke her up. She's one of the unique. Hopefully you can go to a window because we're getting a lot of feedback there on your line.
Sorry.
Okay. You got stuff you got to do. Now there's this new smear that Christian nationalists are white supremacists, terrorists. They have to create. Tell us about this. I mean, help us understand what the heck is going on here.
Well, you know, there's a bit of an art to this. You know, frankly, it's been some version of this has been playing out for a couple of decades. But I would argue that in 2016, I think a lot of people remember the whole kind of Christians are deplorable. You know, you've got deplorables,
yes.
and then there were also irredeemable was also one of the descriptions there. So the bottom line is, you know, we've actually had candidates on the left that have been not just sort of not appealing to conservative Christians, but literally antagonistic and name calling towards them. Well, that's resulted actually in performing more poorly and more poorly in each of the last two presidential cycles for the left. And so there's an effort to try to kind of like claw back a little bit of kind of the social justice Christians. But trying to differentiate to say, oh, but if you're a real Christian, then you kind of like quote Martin Luther King. But those quote unquote Christian nationalists, which is of course kind of a moniker also to say, you're kind of like a racist Christian if you're one of those quote unquote Christians that believes that our rights come from God. And so really there's an effort to try to kind of marginalize white Christians while still identifying or trying to resonate with more social justice and sometimes more moderate Christians.
This is so transparent to those of us who've been watching this over time, pitting people against each other, isolating and using their very term, marginalizing. This is right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Smear marginalize anybody who doesn't vote for you while trying to continue lying to the people that do vote for you, even though you don't care about them either. Right?
That's exactly right. I'm so glad that you mentioned the Rules for Radicals. I mean, this is like chapter and verse right out of that exercise. So what you try to do, you know, what kind of the teaching of Alinsky was you find your opponents and then you try to splinter them. You try to divide them.
Yes.
So you're not necessarily trying to, quote unquote, beat them. You're just trying to divide them. If you can't kind of beat them, divide them is really basically the Alinsky method. And so when they do this, again, they're just trying. They're trying to kind of. You could probably distinguish between some more like Pentecostal divisions of Christianity and more mainline divisions of Christianity. There are ways that you can kind of differentiate, and so that's what this kind of Christian nationalism effort is to say, you know, you can be a Christian if you're not patriotic. But if you're a patriotic Christian, we're going to call you a nationalist. So we're going to see either this direct language. There's actually There's a documentary by Rob Reiner that's literally about "quote unquote" Christian nationalism that's being circulated now. So you know, we're going to see a major strategy unfolding here over the next basically 8 months to this effect.
It's kind of God. It's so ugly and frankly evil. While they're dividing their opponents in splinter groups and having people at each other's throats, remember when they came up with, it's always great, they had come up with these new definitions, new words for things, which is a dog whistle, another thing they came up with, to let people know that it's a new tactic. What I mean by that is, remember when they came up with intersectional feminism, intersectional social justice, where if a woman feminist was a good feminist, she believed in trans rights and therefore had to deal with the cognitive dissonance of allowing a 250-pound man to pummel a woman in a wrestling ring or rob her of her athletic dreams. So they're uniting through these collective groups their side while dividing the conservative side. Have you noticed that? Comment on that if you would.
It's exactly correct, and I think some of one of my biggest charges, I guess, in these next 7 months is to help readers and listeners, consumers of media, recognize this tactic, this methodology. So we tend to kind of hear just the message, maybe the content that's being communicated on a news show or in a, you know, an op-ed or whatever. And we may not always recognize sort of the underpinning or the underlying motivation behind what's being said. And I think it's really, really important for savvy American news consumers to recognize the motive behind it is actually arguably more important than the explicit content. So what's actually happening here is not, I mean, we can have very meaningful conversations about what the Bible says about certain public policies, et cetera, but that's not the objective of what this moniker by the left and the media of a Christian nationalist, or, you know, to your point, another great example, these kind of intersectional feminism, et cetera. These are very kind of poll tested, developed in a petri dish to try to divide subsections and kind of communities across the country. It's a pure political exercise. There actually is no effort at a meaningful dialogue here.
And, you know, you were happy I mentioned something. I'm glad you mentioned that it's a tactic. And too often people who are being attacked and are having the finger pointed at them get very defensive and try to defend themselves, kind of like, when did you stop beating your wife? When they don't understand the tactic that's being used, they don't care about the truth. They're creating what they hope will be people's truth. God, I wish I had more time to talk to you. Tim Head, where can people find you, follow you, and learn more?
You bet. You can just check in at ffcoalition.com as our website, and that connects you to all our different social media and other news coming out. ffcoalition.com.
ffcoalition. We got to run. We'll be back. Thank you, Tim, for joining us. We'll be back right after this on The Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away.
So when we're setting up stuff for the new year, we've come in with a lot of energy. It's good to level set, take a step back, relax just a little bit, think about the small things that we can do, that we can fit into our life right now and do them very, very well. That's the key, sustainability. So I would start with using a tracking app. That way you know what you're bringing in and what you're bringing out. MyFitnessPal is a great option for that. It's gonna help build sustainable habits over time. And to help with that, the nutritionists over at MyFitnessPal, along with Kate Hudson, have developed the Small Steps, Big Wins plan. This is a 7-day challenge that gives you the little steps that you need to build that foundation so you can meet your goals. You can go straight to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, download MyFitnessPal, and get started.
Thank you. CES is always a proving ground for breakthrough technologies and global innovators, and I'm working with some great brands to share the latest and greatest. The S8 Max V Ultra from Roborock is redefining how we clean our homes. The deep cleaning capabilities and self-maintenance features make cleaning more convenient. Online protection experts McAfee have unveiled their new AI-powered deepfake audio detection technology. Known as Project Mockingbird, this technology will be a reliable resource for consumers amidst the rise of malicious AI-generated material online. Tonies are a great screen-free educational toy option for children. Pop any of the Tonies on top of the Tony box, and they'll play a variety of stories, songs, and lessons that can develop children's emotional intelligence with age-appropriate tech. The X-Real Air 2 Pro AR glasses are a great option for gaming, working at a desk, or incorporating augmented reality apps into your day-to-day life. And because they look like normal sunglasses, they'll fit right into your pocket and blend seamlessly into your day. For more, check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
I'm Maria Brouse, Director of Media and Community Relations for Publix Supermarkets. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Publix to march for babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we're building a brighter future. Sign up for Publix's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and I'm delighted to have as our next guest, Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, otherwise known as SPME. He's trained as a Middle East historian. He holds a PhD in Middle East and Mediterranean Studies from King's College, London, UK, and has published widely on various aspects of the Arab-Israeli conflict and American foreign policy in the Middle East, as well as on Israeli and Zionist history. And he is the author, co-author of Religion, Politics, and the Origins of Palestine Refugee Relief. His name is Dr. Asaf Ramarovsky, and we have him right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Thank you, Doctor, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was just writing this up on the break. So instead of calling for ousting Hamas, Chuck Schumer, who happens to be Jewish, as am I, is calling for the ousting of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu because Netanyahu wants to oust Hamas. What say you? Are we living in a cartoon or what?
Well, I would go further to say we're living kind of in 1984 as far as the reality. It is shocking to say the least and beyond concerning that this, I would see that Schumer's comments, in addition to comments that have been made by the State Department officials like Blinken and like Jake Sullivan, to my mind, constitute a kind of a downgrading of U.S.-Israel relations since the beginning of the war, when we saw an outpouring of support and, of course, and justifying Israel's right to self-defense. And here you are, Chuck Schumer, going on record on the House floor and basically equating Benjamin Netanyahu as a analogous threat to Hamas. Totally out of, totally uncalled for, totally fallacious. And the fact that we are meddling with a sovereign ally, a democratic sovereign ally, no less, with our ally in the region, is outrageous. I mean, I think that the comments need to be condemned, and they have been condemned. I think it really shows the disconnect between Schumer's perspective and the progressive wing of the Democratic Party's entire viewpoint on the conflict itself. And where I would say you're seeing pressure coming from the White House and from individuals like Schumer and Bernie Sanders and others to try to end this war because they decided Israel had enough time and now it's time to end it. 63% of Israeli society believes that the two-state solution to date, and especially now, is a fantasy, and that the number one goal is to eradicate Hamas.
Dr. Remarovsky, I want to ask you also about this window dressing and the subtext that we're watching. Adam Schiff has now gotten on the bandwagon and wants to condemn Netanyahu and Israel. And I don't think it's far-fetched to say that liberal Jews who are only Jewish ethnically and who usually are the excuse for others to hate Jews, I mean, oftentimes, that it's not an accident that these are Jewish liberals being pushed to the forefront to speak out against their own people and the right to self-defense of their own people. This is not an accident. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's an accident at all. I think it's actually by design. I think that the narrative of I'm Jewish, but, which is a narrative right. that I come across all over the place, and especially in my when there is a debate on American college campuses, I find it to be it gives them the impression, or at least, you know, to your point, the idea that they have skin in the game and they can say that because they're Jewish, they know better, or the fact that they want to employ what Jews around the Obama administration and during those days would say, oh, we have tough love. If the Israelis can't do it for themselves, we'll make it happen for them. It is totally detached from reality. And I think that the fact we also have to come to terms with the reality today that there actually are Jewish anti-Semites. I mean, it's, maybe it's not comfortable to hear.
Can you say George Soros? I mean, he's a Jewish anti-Semite.
Yes, I would
argue
that. Absolutely. And I think that to argue that individuals, because they're Jewish, they can't be anti-Semitic is also fallacious. And so I think we have to come to terms with the reality that there are such Jews, many people who are involved with the ceasefire movement, who are willing to sacrifice themselves in the name of their Judaism, or to argue that I am pro-Palestinian, so I have to kill myself in order to make that happen. These are outrageous and disconnected, equivocations that they try to make in order to try to sell themselves as legitimate parts of the conversation. But the fact of the matter is that once again, they are detached from the Middle East reality. One needs to also put in perspective as well for your listeners to understand. The fact of the matter is that Benjamin Netanyahu is not the sole commander-in-chief. There is a war cabinet going on currently now in Israel in place that is comprised of the left, the right, and the center. And all of those decision-making processes that are involved in the war itself and in the objectives of the war, where you have really, I would say, a consensus in Israel as to what needs to happen, they are all in agreement. And the fact that American Jews and especially American progressive Jews feel the need that doesn't make them feel comfortable as Jews has nothing to do with the reality on the ground, or it's totally disconnected with what needs to happen. And this is where I find it to be so disingenuous and so problematic. U.S.-Israel relations in general have been the kind of the operating playbook has been based on what is considered to be the no daylight, the idea that if you have differences, you don't air the dirty laundry. Now, in the age of infotainment, everybody feels like they can wake up in the morning and bash everybody else, and Netanyahu becomes an easy target. I would also not be surprised, which I've seen all over the place, is the idea that they're going to try to equate such progressive Jews that Benjamin Netanyahu is Israel's version of Donald Trump or whatever other kind of nonsensical.
Well, they've been treating him that way.
Yes.
They've been treating him that way all along. There's no question about it. They give the same treatment to anybody who opposes them. You will commit suicide or I'm going to hurt you. I think that's really kind of, it can't be underestimated enough that they cart out these useful idiot liberal Jews in order to give permission to thousands more Jews to turn against Israel. That's the purpose. That's the reason they're doing it, is to tell them, okay, it's time for you to become anti-Israel too, because somebody like Chuck Schumer, who you've been supporting for so long, says that Benjamin Netanyahu shouldn't be protecting the Israeli people from barbarism. Right?
100%. I mean, I would also go just to add one more point as well, that there is also an attempt to try to carve out the fact that, yes, I'm Jewish, but to also make sure that, you know, my Jewishness is different than, you know, I'm not in my Zionism. And they're trying to root out Zionism, which is Jewish nationalism, from their Jewishness because they don't feel comfortable with that in their own skin. And so that's part of the anti-Zionist, I would go as far as to say anti-Semitic viewpoint, that they're saying, we don't feel comfortable as the kind of Jews you are, Israelis, who are on the ground fighting a terrorist, Islamist, Nazi, barbaric organization. So now I'm going to go out, I'm going to criticize you because that will make me feel better and allow me to talk to my progressive liberal friends.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine after October 7th. There were some Hollywood celebrities that came out and just were horrified that all of their pro-Palestine, pro-two-state solution, pro-this, pro-that, didn't stop them from being victims of Jew hatred, more vicious than they've seen, and maybe many of us have seen in our lifetimes. So what do you think is the state of that?
Well, I think it's I think that the part of the success of the Palestinian propaganda machine has been that the Palestinians can do no wrong and the Israelis can do no right. The ironic part of what you've been seeing in Hollywood and other progressive circles is that all these individuals who support the idea of progressive values, LGBTQ+, women's rights and whatnot, the fact that they're criticizing what the Israelis are doing, if they were openly progressive, LGBTQ+, and whatever right they want to project inside of Israel, inside of Gaza, they would be basically hung, literally.
Yeah, and that piece of ignorance they have no clue about. And we've seen that. They are totally clueless about it. Dr. Remorovsky, tell us real quickly how we can find you, follow you. We have like 15 seconds, sorry.
My website is my last name, Remorovsky.com, and the organization is spme.org.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to talk to you again. We're going to wrap up the show with one more guest. Stay tuned.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work to, for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal, disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of 3 boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And it's been a while since I've spoken to this last and final guest of this outing, Vice President of Client Development at Publius PR. But he's also a columnist and author, host of the Drew Allen Show podcast, author of America's Last Stand, Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2014? Drew Allen joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Drew. Good to have you.
Hey, good to be with you.
One of the reasons I like you always on the radio is because you do not mince words. You say that America, that the current administration is trying to turn America into the world's trash can. What do you mean by that? And tell us more.
Well, sure. I mean, it's related to their immigration policy, certainly. I mean, the way this administration, the Democrats, view America is they view us like a trash can, a place where third world countries can send their poor, their uneducated, their murderers, their rapists. And of course, it represents basically this broken American psyche. I mean, the United States, in my opinion, and it's not actually just my opinion, it's informed by reality. We are the Ferrari of countries in terms of what we represent and what we've accomplished. And the Democrats and Biden view us like some, you know, Serbian Yugo junk car to just be abused. And the purpose of immigration, look, I mean, we have poor in our own country and we don't take care of those individuals anyway. We have homeless, we have problems, you know, so let's not pretend like we don't have all these issues and our government is not doing their job here. But the purpose of immigration isn't to help the rest of the world. It's not to bail other countries out of their own responsibilities or those citizens from their responsibilities to improve their own country. The purpose of immigration is very simple. It's to improve America. And that's the attitude that we need to adopt quickly.
You know, Drew, it's becoming more and more, just speaking of not mincing words, it's becoming clearer and clearer that the anti-American left is not doing it to help others. It's doing it to stick it to us. Case in point is a case we just talked about in this hour, the CHNV policy. Stands for Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. The program allows up to 30,000 people each month from these countries, and I've heard it's been expanded, to fly into the U.S. and be granted 2 years of humanitarian parole and allows them to work in the U.S. Corey Alvarez, 26-year-old Haitian national, was charged with raping a teenager, a mentally disabled teenager, at the Massachusetts Hotel that was housing migrants under this policy. So it seems as if they have malicious intent towards innocents and law-abiding citizens, not just trying to help others. How can you not conclude that, and what do you think?
Well, that's 100% correct. I mean, look, I mean, you have Democrat voters out there, some who just believe the lie that they've been told that, you know, they pull on the heartstrings, oh, we've got to help the world's poor and so on and so forth. That's one, you know, propaganda thing we have to combat. But you make a great point. For the people that are actually behind these policies, they are trying to do harm to America, and they're trying to obviously improve their own odds with elections and things like that, with importing, you know, third world immigrants who have no association or love for this country or understanding about it, and give them freebies. I mean, what was so offensive, you know, Joe Biden went on that apology tour after he, you know, of course, referred to Lake and Riley as Lincoln Riley. And actually, the only truthful thing he said during the State of the Union was that she was killed by an illegal. And of course, he went and apologized for calling, daring to call that person an illegal. And then he said
because
that
he was pressured
this country.
Yeah, by the radical left pressured him. They didn't care about the death of Lake and Riley. They cared that he called the perpetrator, the murderer, illegal, which he was.
Yes, yes. And it's just the audacity to then claim that illegal murderers like that individual built this country. It's unbelievable. They've contributed nothing. They are robbing us blind to give them free housing, free health care, all these freebies that they're not entitled to, while claiming that the people they're robbing, who actually did build this country, didn't build it. And, you know, this is one of the biggest issues confronting America, because it's actually one of the gravest long-term threats we face. We're talking about more than 10 million who probably come in here, and people are going to have to buckle up and be willing to do what's necessary to fix the country, which is to, you know, make sure that these people leave voluntarily, even, because they have to understand that they broke the law and there's nothing here for them. It's not our duty to give them anything. They can go back to Haiti and make Haiti great again, but we're working on making America great again, and they're not contributing to that.
Well, and you can also import a lot of brown shirts by importing people who already have no allegiance to the country, and a large criminal population. So they get to do the dirty work that the elitist communists won't do. You know, that it's here's the problem. We've been talking about the problem, and that is that the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade. So yeah. You can't ask for justice from the very people who are perpetrating the crimes. I know it's a big question. Maybe you cover it in your book, but what do we do about it?
Well, the American people have to change their voting habits, certainly. The American people have to be a forceful voice against this. And this has to become an issue in which it spells doom for the Democrat Party. You have to make sure that every American is focused on this and understands how dangerous and detrimental this is to the country, that they view this as the treason that it is, and that this becomes the death knell for the Democrat Party's political future. I mean, that's what you have to do. And it's all of our job to make sure that that point is made.
Talk about in our last, we really only have very little time, about your current book. You are an author. Talk about this book and where people can find it and follow you as well.
Well, best place to get the book, America's Last Stand, Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2024, is Amazon. And look, I make the definitive case why you must reelect Donald Trump over Joe Biden or any other Democrat in 2024. I point out the gravity of this situation we're in America, and urge people and give them the arguments to make converts to liberty in this time of need. So that's what the book's all about. It's very effective, and people will read and be very angry and also hopefully activated to get involved in saving the country.
Yes, and apparently Elon Musk agrees with you. The country is doomed if they don't vote for Donald Trump. Drew Allen, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure. Well, that does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. We love being with you. Stand up, speak out, be strong.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.